friends in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Mordred Nunes. You are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350wnlk.com or on radio at WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. I am the pastor of Hicksville United Methodist Church, Hicksville, New York. Our website can be found at hicksvilleumc.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/HicksvilleUMC. Wisdom's Talk, where we search the Word of God to find new meaning for our daily lives. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? Join me and let's find out together. Stay tuned now, friends. I'll be right back on Wisdom's Talk. Welcome back, friends. This is Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk, and I'm glad to be on the air with you today and want to say to you a happy and blessed and prosperous and healthy New Year's. Thanks be to God that we have lived to see it thus far, that we today is the fifth of the 2018, and we give God thanks and praise that we have, God has brought us through 2017, and now we are here living to see this day thus far, and we are praying and trusting in God that we will see all of 2018 and all that God has planned for us. Oh, thanks be to God. I hope you are well. I hope no matter what's going on in the world that you are still trusting in the Lord, and as we go to the Lord in prayer, we are praying for ourselves in the Northeast and throughout the nation, because we have a cyclone, I forget what it's called now, but a snow cyclone that is now taking over the Northeast and a large part of the U.S. And we are here on Long Island, and we've gotten a lot of snow, and we know there's a lot of difficulties for people, and we have had some tragedies this year thus far in New York. That happened right at the beginning of the year, or might have been the end of 2017, with a fire up in the Bronx New York that killed 12 people. And then there's been so many other things happening, and we've seen in the world. I saw on the news where a bus, it was in South America, the bus toppled over going around a dangerous corner, and over 40 something people were killed. And there's so many other things going on in the world, and so we have to just keep asking God and seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways and repent of our sins, and ask him to forgive us and to bless our land and to have mercy upon all of us. So let us now go to the Lord in prayer as we thank Him for bringing us this far by faith. And so we give God thanks and praise. So join me in prayer where you are now as we go to the throne of grace and mercy. Loving and gracious God, I give you thanks, and we give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. Thank you for being God all by yourself. You were God in 2017. You were God from the very beginning, and you're still God. There is none like you, and there is none but you, Lord God. And so we give you praise. I give you honor and give you glory. And we bow at your feet, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to to enter the throne of grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us access to the throne rooms. And we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to come boldly to your throne of grace and mercy, even as we come with humble hearts and contrite spirit and repentant souls, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. And so as we come to you in prayer and as we come before you, Lord God, I ask you if there's any sin in me, Lord God, to forgive me. If I've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, provoking your wrath and indignation upon me, to forgive me. And for those under the sound of my voice, God, I pray that you'll forgive them also. Have mercy upon us, Lord God. Have mercy upon your people. Forgive us of our sins. You say in your word that if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and repent of their sins, then, Lord God, then you will hear from heaven and you'll forgive our sins and you'll bless our land. So, Lord God, I stand now in the gap for myself. I stand in the gap for those who will not pray, for those who don't want to pray, for those who cannot pray at the moment. God, as I stand in the gap for those who are praying, who have given up on prayer, Lord God, and for those who are joining me in prayer now, we intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters as we call on you for ourselves, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins, Lord God, as we come with repentant heart. We ask you to have mercy upon us, Lord God, and bless our land, Lord God. Bless or do not turn your back upon us, God, because we will perish and die in our sin. And we know you loved us so much, not because we were good, but because you loved us, because you're God and you're a God of love, that you sent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to suffer and die for us and give us a hope for it, of eternal life. And so for that, Lord God, we give you thanks and we praise your name. And now we lift up our brothers and sisters, God, our fellow neighbors and citizens who have lost everything, all their earthly possessions in that fire in the Bronx and fire in other places, Bronx, New York. God, those families who have lost 12 of their loved ones, Lord God. Another family out in New Jersey who the son killed the mother and the father and his sister and a friend. Oh, God, it's everywhere. God, we are asking you to have mercy and comfort those who are grieving this day. Have mercy, Lord God. Have mercy, please, Holy God. We just need you, Lord God. And now as the blizzard has come and taken over most of the Northeast and all of that, and we know the outside is treacherous, Lord God, and folks are trying to get around, God, that it started on the 4th and is continuing over the weekend. We pray that you protect and keep, Lord God. Keep folks off the roads that do not belong, and to give our first responders, Lord, and those who are shoveling the snows and snow, and those who are, you know, those who are taking care of stuff, and the policemen and fire, God, we pray for them, because this is difficult times when it's so cold. Oh God, have mercy. And Lord God, we would be remiss if we did not thank you for our blessings. We thank you for yesterday's blessings, for today's blessings, and for tomorrow's blessings. We thank you for being our God in 2017. And we're depending on you, Lord God, to continue to order our steps and lead and direct our paths in, God, in 2018. We don't want to go through life without you, Lord God. We cannot. Life without you is useless. So have mercy, God. Have mercy upon us this day. And we give you all honor and glory and all praise, Lord God. We ask you to watch over us, God. If there are those who are sick, under my voice, who are sick and shut in, Lord God, in hospitals and hospices and nursing homes, God Almighty, or even in your homes, God. We know the flu season is upon us. We pray for healing, Lord God, that you who are the healer, God, will touch our bodies and touch folks wherever they are and make them well, God, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. Have thine own way. We pray for those who are homeless, especially these terrible weather conditions, that they will find place to live, Lord God, that provisions will be made for them. I pray for those who are hungry, God. Have mercy, God, that food will be provided for them. Holy God, we are depending on you, Lord God. We are depending. You are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Nissi, our banner and our shield. And so we ask for protection, Lord God. Oh God, you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. You are Jehovah Shalom, our peace, God Almighty. You are Jehovah Sitkanu, our righteousness. You are everything. You are Jehovah God. And so we come before you and we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory, God, as we bow at your feet. Thank you now, Lord God, as we seek your face. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Jesus, who would die for us. Jesus, our resurrected Savior. Thank you, Lord God, and we bless your name now. In Christ's name, amen. And now, friends, we have taken our burdens to the Lord, and we are leaving it there, as the songwriter says. And today, as I want to begin with this reflection, this thought that I have, and it is subtitled a new beginning. And there is a song that we sing, it's a hymn that says these words, and it's called "This Is a Day of New Beginnings." And the first verse says, "This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe that love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone." And then the fourth verse says, "Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new." And so we are depending on God to make all things new. The new year always signals for us a time of new beginnings. Certainly every day is a time of new beginnings. Every single day that we get up is a day of new beginnings. And we know that, don't we, friends, that it's a time of new beginnings each morning. Morning by mornings, new mercies we see. And so here I want to read from a text from Luke about a couple of older people that God would have been waiting and waiting. These older people are waiting on God for God to move in their lives, to bring forth the birth of Christ that they had been waiting on. And they were waiting and waiting, and God would do that. You know, a writer, Os Guinness, the author of a book called Impossible People, argues that God can use and has used people in their youth, but God also has accomplished some of his best work through people who are advanced in life experience. So whether we are old or young, God has new beginnings for us. And so the text I'm going to be coming from, let me read it to you now, is from Luke 2, 22 to 40. And this is about subtitled "Jesus Presented in the Temple." And I'm reading from the NIV. And here's the word of the Lord. "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.' Now there was a man in Jerusalem named, he was called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, you have promised, you now dismiss. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel. And here it is, here he was, he had been waiting so long, and God had done it. And then I want to pick up, that was verse 32, and I'm going to pick up at verse 36. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And I went to verse 38. So here were these two older people who had been waiting for the Messiah. They had been waiting for the promise, and they had been waiting. That's why I have titled this A New Beginning. God will always come with a new beginning when we least expect it. Simon had been waiting for a lifetime. In fact, he was waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah. Waiting is a familiar experience, which we talked about before Christmas, as we waited for Christmas to arrive. However, today I am talking about a different kind of waiting. It's not like waiting in line at a supermarket. This is a kind of waiting to reach a goal that I'm talking about. Not a waiting like waiting in line, you know, on a supermarket line, but the kind of waiting as to reach a goal, right? Or waiting for a dream to be manifested, waiting for something to happen, waiting for a new beginning. Friends, is anyone out there waiting for a new beginning? There's something new to happen in your life. I want to give you a word of hope today. Do not give up waiting. Do not give up on waiting, because God is faithful. Children wait to be grown up. Teenagers wait to meet the right boy or girl in their lives. Young adults wait to graduate from college. A husband and a wife wait for their child to be born. Middle-agers, older people wait for retirement. The longer we wait with nothing seeming to happen, the more impatient and discouraged we become, because we're human beings. Simeon had probably been to the temple hundreds of times without finding his hopes fulfilled, because it had been prophesied. And Simeon knew the prophecy. He being a Jewish Christian, he knew the prophecy, and it had been prophesied that the Messiah had come. And so he had been waiting and showing up at the temple, waiting year after year till now he was old. I can picture other people coming up to Simeon and saying to him, "Give it up, old man. You're never going to see any Messiah in your lifetime. You're a hopeless fool. Forget your dream." You could just imagine people saying that to this old man, because he's waiting and he's praying and he's waiting in faith. There probably were times when Simeon did feel like giving up on his hopes, when he felt that God's promise was nothing but the whistling of the wind in the trees. However, Simeon clung to that hope, and therein he teaches us something about the nature of faith. Simeon clung to that hope, and he waited in faith, friends. Anna is also described in the text, and she was described as a prophetess, and she was also waiting for a new beginning, the new beginning that would come forth with the Messiah. Simeon was not a priest, but a simply old man, a layman, an ordinary person. And Anna was not an official prophetess. She was merely a devout old woman who came to the temple a lot. Christianity is based on the faith of simple folks. You see, Christianity is not based on the people, the big folks at the top. It is based on the faith of simple folks like you and me. When you see, like you and I, our faith of Christianity, our belief, our religion on Christianity is based on the faith of simple folks. And so these two simple folks, the scripture shows us again, we're waiting and praying, waiting and praying and fasting over and over for a new beginning. And many tried to convince them that they should give up. As I said before, as I interjected and submitted to you before, that some folks probably looked at them and says, what is happening to these two old fools still say they're waiting on God? And there are many of you out there who are waiting on God, and I am waiting on God for some stuff, and we're waiting. But we're waiting by faith because we know that we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us now yet. That's what the songwriter says. Can't turn around. He has never failed me yet. And so here's my point on when you're waiting for new beginning, what one must remember. The first point is that God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't let anyone take that from us. That's where this text reminds us, because Anna, the prophetess, had been a young girl. She might have been about 13 when she was widowed, or 17 probably, because she had been married for 7 years. And so let's say she was married at 12, because they were married young, and she could have been 18 or 19 years. And one is, you know, I'm just suggesting that she was a young person, and her husband died, and she was 80 something now. That means for 70 something years, right? For 70 years, she had been waiting to see this happen. So my first point is, when you're waiting for God to move, waiting for this new beginning God is going to bring in your life, you must remember that God is faithful. God is faithful. When you know the scripture from Lamentation, or the songwriter says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So God is faithful, and the writer of Lamentations would remind us that God is faithful. So the first point is, keep waiting, friends. If you've been waiting in 2017 and beyond and past that, keep waiting, because God is faithful. Number two, stand and trust in God's promises. Stand firm and trust in God's promises. There's another song, hymn that we sing, that says, standing on the promises. And the chorus says, or the refrain, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling sounds of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promise that we should stand and trust in God's promises. When we believe that God, through our prayers and through seeking God, God has promised that he's going to take care of us. God has promised we need to stand firm and believe, standing on his promises that cannot and will not fail, right? No matter when the howling storms of doubt and fear will assail us, we must continue to stand on God's promises. And my third point here is, God will never fail us. God will never fail us. God is true. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent, the scripture says. We have to trust. There's a little song that says, yeah, we should trust and never doubt. Jesus will surely bring us out. He has never failed me yet. He has never failed me yet. He has never failed me yet. My God has never failed me yet. I want the world to know, right, that he has never failed me yet, and to trust in God. So therefore, the scripture tells us, in the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. We read that in Galatians 4:4-7. And it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. And so this Galatian scripture was just affirming what had happened in the New Testament book of Luke, that in the fullness of time, those folks had waited and waited and waited, but in the fullness of time, in an opportune time, in the fullness, when God was ready, according to his promise that he made, God would send his son, right? That was the promise made. And old Simeon and old Anna would not die. That's why old Simeon would say that, when he says, you could dismiss me now, God, because I've seen the fulfillment of what you had promised. You had done it. And here's the word for the hope for you and me from this scripture, that we're waiting, and some of us are not waiting 70 years. Some of us are just waiting a few months, sometimes a couple of years. Whatever we're waiting for, if it's the will of God for our lives, friends, it will be done. It shall be done. And so we can trust him and obey him and keep on living and moving. And I want to read a couple of scriptures for you that you could hold on to. You may write them down for yourself and look for them in the Bible. From Isaiah 40, 30 to 31, we read, even youths grow tired and weary, and the young will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That when we wait upon the Lord, these things will happen. We don't have to give up. It's a time of new beginning. Oh yes, for you, for the new year, friends. And then from Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that scripture continues. We oftentimes, sometimes do not continue. We quote Jeremiah 29:11, but I'm just going to flip through my Bible and read the rest of it, because we have to be busy doing something. God is going to give us a hope and a future, but we are expected to do something. So I want to read it a little bit for you, to give you just that one verse. I want to add a verse to it so you could see. It's Jeremiah, yes. It says here, it starts from verse 10, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. It says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. And then he goes on in 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So, friends, we're waiting for a new beginning, and we know the plans God has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. But we must do what the word is saying, Jeremiah. We just stop at verse 11. But verse 12 says we got to be doing something. Then you will call upon me. We have to call upon God. And we have to come and we have to pray to God. And we have to, and God says, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So that means we are expected to do something. We have to pray to God. We must seek God and seek his face. And his plans for us will be fully manifested. And some of us, I believe, are waiting for the plans. And we are not seeking God. And we are planning our own stuff. Here's another scripture. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. So we know that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? There's a time for everything. So your time could be coming, friend, in 2018 for this great thing God is going to do in your life, because there's a time for everything. So your season may be coming. Oh, glory to God this day. And then Lamentations 3, 22 to 23, I'm giving you another scripture, says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That God is faithful, as I said earlier. He's and therefore he, the new blessings each day from God. Oh, praise God. And then Proverbs 16:9 says, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. That the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps, directs our steps, okay? So we are planning, but God is directing. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. That means whatever is past behind us in 2017 is gone. The new is here. And then from Philippians 3, 13, 14, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So one has to forget what is behind, right? And now you're going to keep pressing on, because this is the time of new beginning. Press on towards, straining towards what is ahead. And then Isaiah 64:4 tells us, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So Isaiah is telling us, when we wait for God, nobody has ever seen, no other gods can do. But when we wait for God, God is going to act on our behalf. So whatever you're waiting for, I want you to hold on and remember that. And then the last scripture here that I want to give you is Philippians 4, 6 to 7, which tells us now as we go into the new year, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing, friends, and trust God. Trust and obey God. And God, there is no other way. There is no other way. And so we want to be able to remember that God is a God of new beginnings. God is going to make all things new in your life this year. All we've got to do is trust and obey God, because our God is able, able to do all things.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Let us do his good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Amen. Amen, friends. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, thank God this day that we know that there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we thank God for that, right? And that we could, it is so wonderful, and that we could trust God, and because He lives, we can face tomorrow, and because we could trust in Him, because we know that our God is able to do all things but fail. He's able. And so, friends, as we continue listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk, and I just talked a little bit about a new beginning, and then since we are in the new year, and we are 5 days into the new year, I want to just bring another reflection, and this one is titled Courage to Face the New New Year. Courage to Face the New Year. My first half of the teaching was a new beginning, you know, seeking, and no matter how old or young we are, we all are always looking for a new beginning, how God is going to use us. Now, you know, courage, you know, is defined as the ability to do something that frightens one. You know, some of us have things that we're so scared of doing. That's courage. And courage is also defined as the strength in the face of pain or grief, right? In the face of pain or grief. So we know that courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens one, or courage is defined as strength in the face of pain or grief, right? And the synonyms for courage are bravery, boldness, pluck, fearlessness, daring, audacity, grit, and so on. And so, friends, you know, the only way we are going to face the new year, we have to have the only way we're going to have courage to face the new year is that we have to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. We can only do that with God. That's so that whatever comes our way, that we will face it together with the Lord. So the only way we can have the courage to face the new year is in knowing God as our Lord and Savior. Knowing God as our Lord and Savior. And so I want to look at this text from Ecclesiastes, which I mentioned one verse earlier in the first half. But I'd like to read this text for us, and it's Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 14 or 1 to 13. And it's talking about, telling us about time. A time for everything, the writer says. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then verse 9, what do workers gain for their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. And so from this scripture from Ecclesiastic 1, and I went 3, 1 to 14, timing is everything. You have probably heard this phrase many times, as I have. There is a great deal of truth to that statement, that timing is everything. I'd like to submit to you today that in our lives we have two bookends. Our entry bookend, a bookend. You know what a bookend is? When you stack books on a shelf, you could have these bookends. So I want to call the first bookend, which is what we have at birth, is an our entry bookend. And our second bookend is our exit bookend. Those two bookends are for the most part out of our hands, right? When we are going to be born, it's out of our hands. And for the most part, you know, even when somebody commits suicide, I would like to submit that God always knows what's going on. So they're out of our hands. But today I want to talk briefly about the in-between time. The in-between, the time between the two bookends. Because that's what is in our control. What we do with the in-between time is what we have control over. What we do with the in-between time is what we do what we do with it is in our control. You know, how we plan our lives, what we do with our lives. And many of us have wasted the in-between time, but if you're under the sound of my voice and we're still living, there's time to do something productive with that time. We can still do that with the in-between time, friends. We can still do that because God is still on his throne. And so I want to read this little reflection. This is a story I read, and it was titled, Woman Given 24 to 48 Hours to Live Learns Valuable Lessons. And here's how this little story went, true story. For 11 years, Mary Leonard of Louisville, Kentucky, has dealt with a rare inflammatory disease, tissue disease that invades the muscles. There is no known cause or cure. Mary's case turned deadly when the disease invaded her heart. In fact, in March of 2010, Mary was told by doctors that she had 24 to 48 hours to live. But after 20 days in a hospice center, another 51 days in rehab, and a number of days at home, Mary is still alive. She's now reflecting on the changes that take place when you learn your time is short. She says, Mary says, I call myself an average Christian. I don't know exactly why God has done this for me, but I do know that life looks different now. Mary offers 5 life lessons she learned through ordeal. So now in this in-between time, because she was faced with this health crisis, she's going to pass on 5 points to us. And the first one is, know that prayer is powerful. Know that prayer is powerful. This is a woman who was given 24 to 48 hours to die, and she, God brought her back. And she says, the first point is, know that prayer is powerful. So you and I got to work on making our prayer life strong for the new year, don't we, if it's not strong enough. Number two, mend fences now. Don't go into the new year and with fences that are broken. Mend them now between you and your loved ones or your neighbors or your co-workers. Mend fences now. Number 3, release the reins of life to God. Release the reins of life to God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Release the reins of life to God. Number 4, know that God is able, more than able. Know that God is able, that God is more than able. And number 5, put your focus on what really matters. Put your focus on what really matters. Mary had to be faced with a life-threatening illness to learn these lessons. But we don't have to wait for a life-threatening lesson to learn these lessons, do we, friends? No, we don't have to. We surely can begin now because we have control of the in-between time of our life. In-between time. Now, from that scripture that was written by Solomon, but you know, Lamentations 3, 1 to 14, I just read, we could also learn some lessons from that. Now, the first point I want to bring to you from that reading is that expect change. You know, expect change. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 8 tells us that. When we read, there's a time for everything. Timing is everything. There is an appointed time for everything. So as you go through life, expect change. Expect change. Do not, you know, sometimes we block ourselves. We get stuck in our in-between. We get stuck there because we don't want to accept change. But that scripture from Ecclesiastic, it reminds us that there is change will happen. Change will come. Expect change. Two, accept limitations. Accept limitations. And we see that from, you know, Ecclesiastic 3, 9 to 11. It says, he has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So we should know that we have human limitations. So we have to accept limitations, right? So we must expect change. We must accept limitations and know that we're not going to know everything God is planning. We ought not to. And number three, serve God. We must serve God. We see that in chapter 3, verse 12. Serve God. As the writer says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That certainly means that we should serve God, serve each other, and do good things in this world. And number four, enjoy life. He says in verse 13 that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God, that we enjoy life. So that we first, number one, is to expect change. Number two, that we accept limitations. Number three, that we serve God. Number four, that we enjoy life. And number five, here, that we trust and fear God. Trust and fear God. We see in verse 14, it says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. So we must be ready to trust God, right? Trust and fear God, the writer is telling us. And then this is what will make us be able to operate successfully in our in-between time. In our in-between. Remember I said there are two bookends, and we can't necessarily change those bookends. We can't. But the in-between time, we got to have a plan for that. And we've got to first, you know, be reminded as the 5 points that the lady who was dying gave us and the 5 points I have given you. So that first you got to pray, you know, pray to God and seek his face and know that prayer is powerful. And mend the fences with folks that you're angry with or mad with. Know that God is able, that he's more than able. Put your focus on what really matters to God. And then you also have to expect change. Expect this. Timing is everything. There's an appointed time for everything, so expect change. Accept limitations. Know that God is the one who set the boundaries, and God has done what God needs to do from beginning to end. Serve God. Remember that we should serve God. You know that we should take care of each other and serve God. And yes, God allows us to enjoy our lives. Enjoy our lives. That we could eat and be merry when we put him first. And then we must trust and fear him. God does it so that people will fear him. So friends, these are some points to bring into the new year. As you look for a new beginning, you will have the courage to go forward. And here's a couple of scriptures on courage. Here's a couple from Psalm 56, 3 to 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? That is Psalm 56, 3 to 4. That God will give us courage. And then Isaiah 41, 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is telling us today, do not fear, for I'm with you. Go forth and have courage in your in-between time. You see, then Isaiah 41, 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Just giving you some scriptures on courage to go forth, right? And then Matthew 10, and then there's 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong, for the Lord is with us. And Deuteronomy 3, 31, 16 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So for whatever you're asking for, remember that God is with you and God will not forsake you. Oh, friends, isn't that amazing? And then from 1 Chronicles 28:20, David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. So go forth, friends, and do the work. Do whatever God has called you to do in your in-between time. Your in-between time that God has blessed. And trust God and move forth and trust God and know that God is with you. Go forth and trust him in courage and receive that new beginning that God has for you this day. That's my prayer for you this day, my friend, that you will do that and know that God will you can face tomorrow just because God lives. You can face tomorrow, right? You will be able, because he lives, to face tomorrow. Let's listen to that song now.
God sent his son, they called him.
You've been listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Until next time, a blessed new year as we continue to listen, because he lives. Praise God.
Because he lives, I can face him.
Child.